Blog Talk Radio.
This program is proudly produced by an unlicensed and unregistered journalist, blogger, commentator. It is purposely unsanctioned by the United States government, and under new legislation pending in Congress, this program, as well as those who comment and share it online, may be determined by a future court to be criminalistic or terroristic in nature and subject to penalties under U.S. law. Thank you, and may Allah bless our King and the United Soviet States of Detroit!
Now, there are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption.
Corruption.
Until now.
Shipmates, and welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. I am your captain of truth, your captain of freedom. And if you like your freedom, you can keep your freedom. Everybody have a good weekend. A lot of football. I had a lot of things going on yesterday. I thought my boy Junior was going to win the car race, but he didn't. Jimmy Johnson is six-time Johnson. Good for him. Hey, good for him. And I don't care what Donovan McNabb said, whether he's an athlete or not. I mean, what the hell difference does it make? I mean, bowlers, you know, are they athletes? Who cares? If you like the sport, watch it. If you don't call it a sport, it's not a sport. You don't watch it. Excuse me. I mean, I don't like tennis. I don't really consider that a sport. I consider it an aerobic activity. But I could care less whether you want to call it a sport or not. What difference does it make? If you like it, well, you watch it or you play it. If you don't, well, then you find something else that you do and you don't worry about it. Well, that's what I do. I don't care if people like tennis and watch it. I don't care if the whole world does. And if I'm the only one who hates tennis, I don't care. I just don't watch it. So what? I mean, I can appreciate their ability. Even golf. I mean, golf is boring. I mean, golf can be kind of fun out there on the course, you know, whatever. It's a skill. And to be good at it, say what you want, but Tiger Woods is pretty good at what he does, you know. So, you know, you can appreciate people's talent. And speaking of that, I've got something I'm gonna get later. Well, before I get to the Sunday morning puke shows, yeah, let me start there. Let me start over here. I want to talk about, I don't know if anybody has seen the that Jean-Claude Van Damme commercial where he does a split on those Volvo trucks. Well, when I watched it, you know, I heard a little bit about it. It was on Megyn Kelly, and she talked about it and was saying something that it wasn't a stunt or it was a real thing. He really did it or whatever. And I really wasn't paying attention. I had it on, but I was in the other room. I was doing a million things. God only knows what I was doing. And I just seen a picture of it, and it looked like he was, you know, trying to do the splits in between the trucks. And I didn't really think much about it. Then I seen it on somewhere. I can't remember where. But I seen it, and I just was amazed at this. I just was flatly amazed. I mean, whether he was tethered or not, you know, I put it on Facebook, and I don't know why my friends missed the point, but they're all worried about just what they see. They couldn't believe their eyes. No, he had to be tethered. You know, that they had to make that point that he was strapped in and he was this and he was that. Who cares? I don't care that he was strapped in. The fact is, he actually did do the splits in between the trucks, whether he's strapped in or not. I don't care. I would be. I can tell you that. I'd be a hell of a lot more than strapped in. I wouldn't be up there. But he was. The whole point of the ad was to show that the precision of not only the truck steering, driving backwards, but what you can do to your body. I mean, precision and work and heart, you know, the mental and physical, you know, strength that this guy has, I've always admired it. You know, whether you like him, like his acting or whatever, it's irrelevant. I mean, and the boy's fit, man. I mean, he's in shape. He can do all kinds of incredible things. You got to admire that. But the commercial to me said a lot more than that. Maybe it's just the artistic side of me that's coming out. I don't know. But I try to look at things a little bit deeper than just what you see on the surface. Because what you see on the surface, I mean, okay, fine. But a little bit more than that. I mean, what you're actually watching is complexity and simplicity simultaneously. As far as I'm concerned, and then with the sun coming out, I mean, it was just beautiful. It was a piece of art, what it was, in a lot of ways. One, that the engineering, now I'm sure that they've had precision steering in different things, but never really that I've known of in the commercial market. And the fact that he did the splits, okay, I'm sure there's probably people that can do the splits. You know, I'm sure there's people that can do the splits that he did too. I'm sure there's more than one. But the fact that he did it, I mean, you have to tip your hat at this. I mean, I just was amazed that he did it. Well, I could care less whether he was, you know, strapped in or not. That's besides the point. But it does show that the, you know, the precision steering and the mental that he has to have, I mean, otherwise, I mean, you have to have a lot there. You have to have great strength, too. And then when the, you know, then the music, you know, and then the sun coming up, I mean, it just was, you know, it had everything you needed. But what I was, my point to all this is I'm watching this and I, you know, and it was Volvo and hey, good for Volvo. You know, you're going to put this something like this on the commercial market? Hey, good for you. That's innovation, man. That's companies not just, you know, that's not companies going backwards. That's companies going forward. We don't have that in this country anymore. We're not the leaders of innovation anymore. We're not the leaders of anything anymore. I mean, this president has brought us to leading from behind to falling behind. We're not moving forward. The rest of the world is moving forward. We're moving, we're degressing. We're not progressing. You know, this stuff is scary, man. I mean, this isn't, you know, conjecture. This isn't hyperbole. This isn't, I mean, this is real stuff. But we don't have that anymore. Why can't we be leaders? Now, I'm not taking anything away from Volvo or Sweden. I'm not making fun of or wherever they're from. I think it's Sweden, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's not the point. And Volvo does make a good car. Nobody says that they don't. The point is, but we should be having stuff like this. It doesn't necessarily have to be precision steering on tractor trailers. But when was the last time you heard that America did something great and wonderful and we have some kind of great innovation? But what? We don't do that anymore. We need to start being the leaders of things. We're certainly not leading by example on how to do healthcare. We're screwing it up worse than Europe did. Now, if they love their health care over there, then fine, keep it. I mean, if it works for them, it works for them. And there's no reason why anybody should want to take take it away from them. It's theirs. If they like it, well, then they should figure out what they want differently. Personally, we should have been concentrating on the people that didn't have insurance rather than all the people that did have insurance. That doesn't make any sense. If you had whatever the million is, whatever you want to, you know, whatever the million number of the week you want it to be, whatever that number is, you should have concentrated just on that. First of all, what you should have done was figured out, all these, you know, rules and regulations and restrictions that I put on all these businesses are stopping jobs. So let's get rid of those, and we'll bring some more people, get some jobs. They'll get insurance that way. Okay, we can take some million off of that. Okay, well, let's see what over this over here. What can we do over here? Oh, I got a bunch of restrictions over there for this. Okay, let's get rid of those. We'll start hiring some more people. Did that happen? No. Just added more restrictions. The rules and regulations of Obamacare. You thought Obamacare was a lot of pages. 27? Ended up being 2,700 almost, whatever the stupid number is. But the rules and the regulations are three times that size. That's not a joke. That's the real number. Three times the size. How could you possibly? That's over-regulation. That's over. No, that doesn't work. Unbelievable. I just can't stop talking about that commercial, though. I mean, I just found it. You know, it's simple on its one side. You know, okay, fine. Does this place? Blah, 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 blah. But with all that, and then when you couple that with, you're thinking to yourself, this country, what have we done? Where are we? What are we famous for anymore? What are we good for? We leave our men behind, let them burn? We give enemies guns? No problem. Here, Mexican cartels, drug cartels, here, shit, take them. No, we don't need to track them. No, just take them. Go have fun, boys. We allow 400 surface-to-air missiles to be stolen out of Benghazi? Had other weapons stolen in the region? The Humvee, night vision goggles? How do we do this? How do we allow stuff like that to be stolen? Why do we not have security? That doesn't happen. That never happened when I was in the Navy. And I'm not saying, back when I was in, walked uphill both ways to get to the scuttlebutt, and it was, iron men and wooden ships. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that never would have happened. And if it did, Ronald Reagan would have been firing a whole lot of people. And then he would have been kicking some ass. We would have been bombing. We would have been shooting, fighting. Somebody would have got their ass kicked. That's how I know. So I don't buy this crap. And what have we done? Well, they never even hardly talked about it. And, of course, the media, they're not going to get, too involved in it. You know, the president's embarrassed enough as it is. We can't pile on that much. But now that some of these reporters are losing their health care, you people were told. You were told this was going to happen. And now, even if you do repeal it, you still got people that are out of insurance. Hopefully, the insurance companies can see the light and maybe try to work something in to get them back. It may not be as easy, said than done. I mean, you're going to have to rewrite a lot of rules and regulations here. But if you just scrap the entire bill and all of its rules and regulations, what is it, over 10,000 pages of all this crap? What you do is you compile all the pages, however many pages it is, 12,000, 20,000, whatever, 10,000. You take it all out to the Rose Garden, you douse it with lighter fluid, and you set the son of a bitches on fire. Then you get back to the Oval Office, where you should be, rather than the golf course, and you give a real apology to America, and you say, hey, America, I screwed up. It was an experiment. I thought I could fundamentally change the entire country, but you know what? We're a free nation. I was trying to take that away. I apologize. I resign, effective immediately. Goodbye, so long, amen, farewell. But that'll happen. This bill cannot, we cannot be this stupid of a nation. Well, we can be. Let me change my mind. But we shouldn't be that stupid. Let me put it that way. We should not be stupid enough to try to say that we can fix this. Because it won't be we that'll fix it. Not fix it, I should say. It'll be them. We've already seen what they can't do. Now we want to give them another opportunity to not do it again? This is why government has no business in business. They can't do business. They don't know how. It's a different entity. Government is not a business. Government is unique. It's a unique entity, and it should not be run exactly like a business. It is not a business. Treat it as a business. They treat it as their cash cow. You are their little calves. You are their little cash calves. Oh, look at the cute little cash calves. Aren't they sweet? That's you. Getting to the Sunday morning puke shows, God almighty. I've already taken I don't know how many Tums this morning, but I think I'm still going to vomit. What really made me ill yesterday, and I was perusing through all three of them, and I didn't watch the Bob Schieffer. He just, you know, sometimes I catch him a little bit, but the whole, it seems like they all got together, all the networks, and says, hey, you know, let's figure out what the main topic of our Sunday morning puke shows are going to be today. Okay, well, let's find out what damage is being done to Obama. Oh, that sounds good. Let's talk about that. Yeah, that's really good. That's all they talk about. How is this affecting the president? Who cares how it's affecting the president? Not one of these shows. This affecting the American people. Not one. All about Obama. How does Obama look? How do the Democrats look? That's all they're concerned about. But what's this going to do for the Democrats? What's this going to do for the Republicans? What's this going to do for the American people, for Christ's sakes? My Lord. Nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, no, that's not important. American people. Well, they're not important. You know, we'll throw them a couple of cookies. They'll vote for us again. No problem. But we shouldn't be worried about them. This is us we're dealing with here. This is my job. I'm up for re-election. I can't be having my constituents upset with me and vote for a Republican. It was absolutely pathetic yesterday. Chris Wallace, too, the whole smash, everybody, all of them, every damn one of them. Well, they always irritate me, but yesterday was especially nauseating. People still don't get it. The media flat refuses to still acknowledge what the real truth is. Again, it goes with that, you know, just seeing what's on top.
All about Obama. All about Obama. No, don't worry about, well, the solvency and the sovereignty of the country. Don't worry about the welfare, the general welfare. Where have I heard that before? Where does that come from? Anybody know where that's come from? How about you in the back there? You know what that means? You don't know where that's come from? Oh, where have I heard that from? The general welfare. Promote the general. Oh, maybe it's got to be somewhere. Maybe somebody wrote it somewhere. I don't know. Maybe a reporter had it in a news article somewhere. I don't know. But you get the point. You want to look out for the well-being? I thought you were supposed to be Mr. Constitutionalist over here, Mr. Obama. You're not promoting the general welfare. You are destroying the general welfare. Completely annihilated this entire Constitution at every step you can. For what? Why? I don't understand this whole fundamental transformation. I don't like it. I want to fundamentally transform ourselves back to the United States of America. That's just me. That's where my vote is. I want to go back to freedom. I want to go back to where I don't have to worry about this kind of nonsense. Got to constantly fight our leaders to keep our freedom? I mean, that's ridiculous. We shouldn't have to, but yes, we do have to. Just because we have a document that says we're free doesn't necessarily mean that we are. This document is only as good as it's followed. If you don't follow what's in this document, it's not worth a damn. You can take this out with the bathwater, with the baby. That's right there, Mr. J. Carney. But you can take this out with the health care and all the rules and regulations and set it on fire, too. I mean, if you're not going to follow it, what's the point of having it? Only when you can use it against somebody, like, say, your political foe. Then, oh, Constitution, Constitution. Then you hear liberals, oh, my God, they love the Constitution. These people are pathetic. All right, let's start first here with this ABC's Powerhouse Roundtable. Yeah, Powerhouse. Oh, yes, please. These guests, I'm sick and tired of these guests, too. They're all the same every Sunday, and I'm sick of them. I've been sick of them for years. ABC's Powerhouse Roundtable. Martha Raddatz filling in for George Stephanopoulos, George Snuffleupagus. So Martha, she starts off by says, Gwen, I'm going to start with you. Oh, you've been a reporter in this city for more years than you probably want to talk about. I mean, why? What are you saying? She's old? But covered a number of presidents as far as weeks go. This seems like a pretty bad one for the President Obama.
It was a very, thank you for a laugh to start it off, because we haven't been laughing much in
right,
Washington.
Right, we got to laugh sometimes.
And they're not laughing a lot at the White House this week. It's been, to have the president come out as he did and speak basically for an hour saying, yeah, I was wrong, yeah, I fumbled, repeatedly, was not only a bad concession for him, but it was also so un-Obama-like. Their certainty, our defense in all of this has been, we know what's best for you, and they had to come out and say, but we don't know how to do it, and that this is complicated, something which you would like to think they knew. So it was a bad, bad week. They're hoping, as you heard John Carl say,
what?
They hit bottom, and that there's only one place to go, up, but no one's quite clear what the path is.
So un-Obama-like for apologizing for destroying the country? That's so un-Obama-like? I mean, my God, this woman. I mean, these people, you've got like two different, I guess you can call them factions. Well, you've got these people on, that are up for re-election, and they're freaking out, wigging out. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, what do we do, what do we do? And now they come up with this phony baloney fix that's only for a year, and it's not a fix. It's just
it's just going to make the problem even worse. If they can even do the fix, which they don't even have the fix yet. So they don't know even really what to tell their constituents. So some of them who are scared are staying away from everybody. And others who seem to be not worried about their reelection because they've got a few more years are out touting it. Oh, it's so beautiful and wonderful. Oh, Obamacare is so wonderful. Yeah, well, they did fumble the website. Oh, isn't that cute? Yeah, $600 million and 3 years later, yeah, they fumbled the website. And that's cute and funny, Miss Gillibrand. Oh, my God, that made me sick, her interview. I mean, you just want to reach through the screen and just start choking these people. You know what I mean? Like poking their eyes out like they do in the Three Stooges. You know, boink. Slap them a couple of times. Wake as the hell up. You know, get them over, tip them over on the side and just kind of like pop them on the ear. Maybe all the stupid will fall out of the other ear because there's really not much, you know, connected in between. I'm speaking figuratively, by the way, so let's not get anybody all wet and moist and set themselves on fire over it. And speaking of Kirsten Gillibrand or Kristen or whatever the hell her name is, this one I had to play. Now, I don't know if anybody else picked up on it or not. Maybe I misunderstood it. You know certainly that the ABC, NBC, and all those, they're not going to say anything. They're going to let that one go unless somebody on the right picks it up. But what I picked up, well, maybe I should just play it, and let's see if you can pick up the same thing that I picked up. So let's go ahead. This is Kirsten Gillibrand on ABC yesterday with Martha Raddatz.
Yes, I want to go back to this implementation because we can't quite go forward yet. Did you feel misled by Obama?
He should have just been more specific because the point is, if you're being offered a terrible health care plan that the minute you get sick, you're going to have to go into bankruptcy, those things should never be offered.
So were you misled?
Those are offered
now. Specific. No, we all knew. The whole point of the plan
I was talking. But let's go back and hear that again, and I'm going to shut up this time. Go ahead and hear that again. Play it again.
I want to go back to this implementation because we can't quite go forward yet. Did you feel misled by Obama?
He should have just been more specific because the point is, if you're being offered a terrible health care plan that the minute you get sick, you're going to have to go into bankruptcy, those plans should never be offered.
So were you misled?
He should have just been specific. No, we all knew. The whole point of the plan is to cover things people need, like preventive care.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? He should have been more specific. But what else did you catch in there? Yes, she goes on. But were you misled? What was her quote? No, we all were. Or we all knew. So were you misled, Miss Gillibrand? No, we all knew. And then she realized that she just let the cat completely out of the bag and just kept on going about something else, God only knows. Oh, but we got all this care about 26 years old, and we got preconditions, and we got this, and we got asthma, kids with asthma, and moms with all this, and they're so poor, they can't pay for anything. And, of course, Martha Raddatz, she wasn't going to bring that up again. But what Miss Gillibrand did was say, no, we were not misled. We knew what was in the bill. We knew what was in that bill before we signed it. So all these Democrats now that are back there freaking out, Miss Landrieu, obviously you knew, but now you're acting, well, I got to fight for my people. Mm-hmm. Damn right you people knew. They didn't have to read the bill to know that it was in there because they probably were requesting that it was in there. It's the only way this kind of stuff can work. You got to get people in it.
Well, if the only people are signing up are people who, you know, get it for nothing, the people who have to pay for it aren't going to go into it. Would you rather pay $95 or would you rather pay $900 a month, quadruple your deductible, higher costs for medicine? You can't find a doctor now. You lost your hours. But now you can't afford the gas to drive 150 miles to go see a specialist. You're screwed. So are you sorry that you put these people in that predicament, Mr. President? Are you really sorry that you put these people in this predicament? Are you really? If you were really sorry, Mr. President, that you put these people in these predicaments, and this is exactly what's going to happen, well, then you should have enough in you to realize that this damn bill doesn't work and you need to get rid of it. You need to do it yourself. Lead by example. You get rid of Obamacare, I guarantee you, you will have the majority of the American people on your side. They won't believe they'll never vote for you for anything. They still won't like you, but they'll be on your side for this one. They will respect you. And respect still does go a long ways. So just think about it. You'll never do it, but. So here we have Kirsten Gillibrand letting the cat out of the bag, letting everybody know that, yes, indeed, they knew. They were not duped. They were not misled. They knew. But she realized that she slipped up, gaffed, is what they call it. Gaff. Ah, yeah, gaff. That's when a politician tells the truth. Ha ha, he he. You know what? That's not funny. Lies are very, very, very effective. This lie here, is this funny? I don't find it funny. There's a lot of people going to be seriously hurt. Financially, stressfully, I mean, medically. This is hurting a lot of people. This is not the promotion of the general welfare. Now, I'm sorry. I know that they've got impeachment hearings for Attorney General. He's appealing it, this and that, yada, yada, yada. I hope it happens. It might send a message. But if you want to talk about real impeachment, we need to start at the top because we are sick and tired of having this Constitution being violated. That right there is another one. This is not the promotion of general welfare. We've already seen our middle class is just being annihilated because of just this health care alone. People have lost their jobs because of Obamacare. People have lost their hours from Obamacare. These are facts. This is not hyperbole. This is not conjecture. This is real. These are real numbers. And because of Obamacare, more and more people, and they've lost unemployment insurance. That's run out. Now they're on welfare. Their quality of life has sunk into the tank. And you're sorry that put in this predicament. Really? Well, maybe somebody should put you in that kind of predicament. And then we'll tell you that we're sorry that you got put there. Somebody, somewhere needs to stand up. We need to have more people then stand up. Somebody's got to lead. Somebody's got to stand up and say, no more of this. Well, it's all of us. We have to do it all together. We can't just wait for one man, one woman to stand up and lead the charge, wave their sword. No. This is a collective effort. No one's in charge. You see something that needs to be done? Shut up and do it. Don't form a committee. Don't hand down orders to anybody. You see something that needs to be done, well, then you do it. Is that what you do at home? You see something on the floor that shouldn't be there? You don't pick it up? Of course you do. You pick it up. You see something, you fix it. You don't wait for somebody else to do it. You know, well, it's not the right time to fight. Really, Mr. King? Really, Mr. McCain? When is the right time to fight, huh? The right time to fight is when you see the fight. The fight's right in your face. What, are you kidding me? How could you miss it? The fight is right in our face. Now is the time to fight. All they had to do was hold the line, and they could have had the entire country would have been on their side. But did they? No. No, they did. No, they did not. All they had to do was hold the line. Just hold the line. And she goes on to say, this Kirsten Gillibrand, which was working with Mr. Cuomo, our governor, they were so eager to hand out and enforce and draft up laws where poor people got to have nice homes, expensive homes that they couldn't afford, didn't even hardly have to fill out a credit application, but they had to get the loan because they were the right victim, the right flavor victim, whatever that may be. You pick and choose. There's so many victims out there, you can't keep up with them. So whatever victim status they fit in, they got a home. Well, we all know what happened there, but that's all Republicans' fault. It's all George Bush's fault. Yeah, he had nothing to do with it, but it's all George Bush's fault. Obama destroys the middle class, and it's still Bush's fault. It's because Fox News criticized Obamacare is why Obamacare is failing. Don't you people know this? According to Zeke Emanuel, that's why Fox News underfunded it. You know, if they'd have just had more money to spend on a website, we'd have just gone for the full billion. We might have got a pretty good website, but we only spent $600 million. That's because Fox News took the other $400 million away, and they gave it to the Koch brothers. That's what happened there. Jesus Christ. So this Kirsten Gillibrand goes on and says, well, he should have been more specific. More, what do you mean more specific, Ms. Gillibrand? You mean like this?
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period.
If you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance.
If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you. If you like your doctor...
Is that what you meant? Is that what you meant, Ms. Gillibrand? Huh? If you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep it, period? And nobody's going to be taking that away from you? Is that what you meant by more specific? Well, I don't know how the president could have been any more specific, Ms. Gillibrand. What are you talking about? Do you have any idea? This is what I was talking about earlier. You've got two people that, I mean, they're just out there. They just can't, I mean, Obama this, Obama that, Obamacare. Oh, it's so wonderful. And it's just happy and joyous. And it's just, Nancy Pelosi, my Lord in heaven, this woman's on it again. I mean, these people are just, they're crazy. How can they expect people to actually take them seriously when they're saying this stuff? The Nancy Pelosi, we got hers coming up. I don't want to get it right now. I'm already still nauseous from everything else thus far. Got to take some more Tums. Get another drink of water. Gag. But how can these people be, I mean, to me it seems insulting because you know nobody can be that stupid. So it's insulting because they think we are that stupid that we would, well, take them seriously. I don't know who her audience was, but America was watching you, Ms. Gillibrand. I know there's still a lot of liberals out there, but still a lot of people out there who have just, well, millions that have just lost their health care and looked on the website after 2 weeks and realized that the only plan that they can get is covering less, not more, much, much, much more expensive. And that's fine with these people. But at least they can get a free abortion, right? You know, you got to have that. That's all this is about, is so people can get contraception and free abortions. What is the deal with this abortion? Why does everybody have to have an abortion? Well, there is a thing. A lot of people who do believe Ted Turner is one of these people. The hard left is they believe in population. They love population control. They believe there's too many people on planet Earth. There's not enough animals, so there has to be a lot of people that have to die. But they don't, you know, they're trying to decide who gets it. Well, Republicans are the first ones going to get it. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, let's give them Obamacare. We can get rid of a lot of people with that. We lower their quality of life. You lower the quality of life, well, more people die in a lower quality of life. It's just the way it is. Those are facts. That's not hyperbole. You have a lower quality of life, well, more people in your community are going to die. You have a higher quality of life, well, you're going to be able to live longer. That's a fact. Well, that's what this is all about. It's to lower the peasants' quality of life. They won't lower their life, but they'll lower somebody else's. This is their sick, twisted, this is their game, and they do believe this. They do believe there's too many people on planet Earth. And they do believe there needs to be something. Well, abortion's great. You know, they love that because they can, I mean, just, you know, you kill the babies. You never have to worry about them growing up. We're not leaders of anything as far as innovation. We're not leaders of anything anymore. I mean, what do we do? Do we export anything anymore? Really? What? We import a lot of stuff. We could be exporting oil. That. Imagine that. Imagine the United States exporting oil. I think the, you know, a lot of Europe would buy oil from the United States. Maybe Mexico. They could use some oil. South America. There's a couple of countries down there we like. They get a lot of it from Brazil. We should have a lot of people working right now, and it wouldn't take very much. Government can't create jobs. All they can do is restrict jobs. And the only jobs that they actually do create are more government jobs, which aren't a real job because it's taken out of the private sector. They can't create private sector jobs. They can only restrict private sector jobs, and that's exactly what they're doing. And for what? What do they gain out of this? They love taxes, but don't they seem to realize that, well, if you have more people working, you're going to have more taxes because more people are going to be paying in? Don't you think that, I mean, do you really not understand basic mathematics that much? I mean, are you really completely that oblivious to basic mathematics that you can't see this? You have to be kidding me. So we don't have enough tax coming in. So let's go over here and let's take away all these jobs. Those are all the oil jobs. Those are gone. We got rid of those. Yeah, they'll scrape those off. Yeah, get that last one over there. Get him, that little bastard sneaking around the corner. Thought he'd keep. I got you. I'm going to get rid of him. All right. Now, there's this group over here. Yeah, we got to get rid of the coal miners, you know. we got to get rid of them. We can't have any of those. No, no, no. Those are all gone. Oh, come on over here. Yep. Give me those picks and shovels. Come on. Give me that. Come on. All right. Those are gone. Oh, mom and pop stores. Okay, well, here's how we get rid of those. You see, we want these big companies over here that we're in bed with and we're making lots of money on the side with in Wall Street. And I love that Occupy Wall Street. These idiots have no idea that their president was in bed with Wall Street more than any other president in American history. And they're out there protesting Wall Street. They have no idea they're protesting themselves. And, of course, President Man, no, he welcomed it. Because these people actually thought that it was against Republicans. There were... It's them! They're protesting themselves, these idiots! That's why it didn't do anything. But make a big, giant, stinky, nasty, filthy mess with rats and diseases and rapes and murders, stabbings, fights, fires. I mean, come on. Yeah, that's real peaceful, all right. Yeah, that's peace and love. Should have been more specific. Now you can keep your plan, period. You can keep your doctor, period. Nobody's going to take that away. Well, you should have been more specific, Mr. President. I mean, Kirsten, sweetie, honey, stick your finger in your ear and scrape away all of that cement, okay? Pay attention. And stop insulting people. You just insulted the American people. All these guys are. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, that's a total insult. You think we're not stupid? Here's another one. Where is this other one over here? Now that I'm on this. Let's play this other cursing Gillibrand. I can't remember what it was, but it's just garbage. It's not very long, but go ahead and listen to this nonsense.
Fear and trust. What does this all say about President Obama's leadership these past few weeks? He fell on his sword, but he's missed that sword a couple of times.
Yeah.
Well, no one is more disappointed in the implementation issues than President Obama, and he has taken full responsibility for the mistakes and the lack of getting this system up and running when it was...
Really? Obama's taken full responsibility? Really? Well, that's nice. So what has he done to fix the problem of millions upon millions of Americans who have already lost their health insurance, lost their doctor, lost their plan, or are about to lose it next year? What about them, Ms. Gillibrand? It's all about the president. You notice that? Everything's about the president. Well, how does this make the president look? It's been a bad week for the president. Oh, it's been a bad week for the king. We feel so sorry for him. Oh. Bad week for the president. It's been a bad 5 years for the country. How about that, Gwen Ifill? How about that, Martha Raddatz? Kirsten Gillibrand? It's been five bad years for the country. Not a bad week for the president. The president's not affected by this. How is this a bad week for him? What, his poll numbers are down? What the hell does that matter to him? I mean, he's not going to be able to run again. Well, he won't run. He may declare himself president for life, but he can't legally run. So what the hell does he care? He doesn't. What his actual motive is for this, I don't know. I don't see it as, road to hell is paved with good intentions, because I don't see good intentions in this. And if there are good intentions in this, where are the good intentions? Where the hell did they go? Because I don't see the full responsibility. And is working real hard to fix it. What is he doing to fix it? He ain't doing a damn thing. What is Obama got in there? He's got his sleeves rolled up and he's in there in that computer. Boy, he's typing away on that keyboard and he's down in there and he's got this screwdriver in there and he's, you know, adjusting wires and, you know, I'm Obama. He's on top of it. God damn. I mean, he's right there, boy. He's right there on top of it. He's fixing it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he don't go upstairs and eat. He don't play golf anymore. He's right down there in that computer. He's fixing that problem, boy. What the hell does that mean, working real hard to fix it? What does that mean? More specific. Well, all right. I guess we got to get this over. Let's start. This is Nancy Pelosi, who just simply just doesn't get it. This is so insulting. And I've got two of them here. They are so insulting. If you're not sitting down, make sure that you are, because this is, this will just knock you off. How long do we have to keep accepting this nonsense from these people? I mean, how many more lies, how many more insults do we have to be taken? How many more times do we have to be slapped across the face by these people before we say, no, this is enough? Reporters don't really challenge these people. I know David Gregory tried, but he dropped trowel and surrendered. You know, I mean, she's on the king's court. He can't be, he can't be doing that to one of his jesters now. Can't have that. So this is Nancy Pelosi, cut number one, doubling down on absolute sheer stupidity. Cut one, go.
In the marketplace.
But the president has been apologetic. He's been accountable for saying something that was not the case. You were Speaker of the House. You, in many ways, were seen as an architect and a key ally on this. And this is said back in June of 2009 on MSNBC. Watch.
What we are talking about is affordable, quality, accessible health care for all Americans. It's about choice. If you like what you have and you want to keep it, you have the choice to do that.
Are you accountable for saying something that turned out not to be correct?
Well, it's not that it's not correct. It's that if you want to keep it, and it's important for the insurance company to say to people, this is what your plan does. It doesn't prevent you from being discriminated against on the basis of pre-existing conditions. It doesn't, lifetime limits, annual.
What? What? I mean, that was not an answer. That was babbling. She had no idea that was coming. She was thrown off of her chair and had absolutely no clue how to answer that. And it was blatantly obvious by her. Preconditions. That's all these idiots know. Oh, preconditions and mothers with children with asthma. Look, I'm not making fun of people with asthma. I'm not making fun of mothers who have children with asthma and are not insured. That's not what I'm saying. My point is, that's all these people say. That's their comeback to everything. Well, preconditions and kids can stay on their health care plans with their parents till they're 152, and mothers with kids with asthma, and it's horrible, and they don't have insurance. That's their answer to everything. But it's not an answer. Ms. Pelosi, you didn't answer the question, one, because you didn't have an answer. Two, you lied. You followed the same president. You went out there and said, you know what, Mr. President? I'm going to stand by you, and I'm going to tell the same exact lie as you're telling. That's exactly what you did, Ms. Pelosi. It's not that it's correct.
Well, it's not that it's not correct. It's that it's...
Oh.
It's not that it's not correct. It's that it's, people with preconditions and mothers with children with asthma and insurance companies. Yeah, and George Bush. And yeah.
Yeah, that's an answer, Ms. Pelosi. That's an answer. And it just got to the point you couldn't listen to it anymore. It was just babbling. Even David Gregory was getting, you know... I mean, how about if it's it's not that it, you think it's I'm tired of being of being insulted like this. Now, there's a lot of people, millions of people that just lost their health care. And they're scared to death to go on a healthcare.gov, one, because all their personal information stands a really good chance of being hacked, stolen. There are no securities. The security level on that site is pathetic. I'd love to have the government come out and say, yes, we are 100% secure. I want to hear them say it. It should be. It should have never gone online if it wasn't secure. What, are you kidding? All right. Let's listen to cut number two. Oh, let's get the puke and gagging and barfing over with so we can get on to something else. Go ahead, Nancy, number two. Go.
It doesn't meet what the government says you have to have. You cannot keep it.
If you
and that's
had,
not what you said.
If
here.
You had your plan before the enactment of the law in 2010, if you had your plan before, there is nothing in the law that says you have to. But, you know, again,
yes,
we can go back and forth on this.
Right, but this is an important deal because the grandfathering has changed. And the bottom line is the president has acknowledged, it doesn't seem like you're acknowledging, that saying to people back in 2009, hey, this is going to be easy. If you like what you have, you can keep it.
And
it's all about choice.
You could, if you had your plan until the enactment of the law in 2000. Any grandfathering is for those before 2000. But let me say this, and I commend the president. He's gracious, and he's
what?
Taking responsibility. But that doesn't mean that there was anything in the law that said if you like what you had before 2010, you could.
Yes, there was, Ms. Pelosi. If they changed the plan $5, they were to lose the plan. What are you talking about? What do you mean there was nothing in the law? I mean, are these people, are they... You cannot be that stupid. That's devious. That's untrustworthy. That's devious is what that is. For her to come out and say that there's nothing in the law that says that you can't, that the health care law is going to take away your health care. Well, there is, Ms. Pelosi. You change it by $5, you lose your health care plan. Don't give me this grandfather. Oh, these people were grandfather, but if you can keep it, oh, that was before 2000. She didn't even know the date. She just was babbling again. And, of course, David Gregory tried. He tried to get, you know, push her, but, you know, you can't push the old bat too much, you know. You can't push her too much. You know, David Gregory was getting all kinds of trouble being NBC and all. I mean, NBC is all Obama all day. And if you criticize Obama for that, whoa, hot doggy, you're going to get yourself into trouble. You're going to lose your job, and then you have to go to work for Fox. Which I wish Fox would stop hiring these people that get fired over there, that Juan Williams. Hey, he got fired from PBS. Who cares? Let him go work for one of the other networks. Why bring him to Fox? Yeah, I know he was a contributor, but it's a perfect opportunity to send him on his way. Let him go. PBS isn't going to keep him. Why should we? Why should Fox? We. I don't have anything to do with Fox. All right, let's get in here. We've got a lot of tornadoes. I didn't know what was going on. I was watching the football game yesterday, and they were showing what was the Bears game. I watched the red zone. It's the only way to watch football is you got to watch a red zone, man. You know everything of what's going on, all the games. It's great. It's beautiful. I love it. And what they were showing in Chicago, oh, my. I mean, it was 1 o'clock. It was black. I mean, they played for a little while, and then they had to cancel the, but it was just early afternoon, and it was jet black. The lights were on. You could barely see the wind and the rain. Oh, that was crazy. But I didn't realize how traumatic it actually was until I got up this morning. Dozens of tornadoes and intense thunderstorms swept across the Midwest on Sunday, unleashing powerful winds that flattened entire neighborhoods, flipping over cars, uprooting trees, and leaving at least 5 people dead. I was like, what? Illinois took the brunt Let's see what's going on over here. The social field. There was an elderly man and a sister that were killed in a tornado near their home around noon in the rural community. Looks like here it was a tornado rated F4 with the winds of at least 166 miles an hour. Whoa. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, you know, our thoughts and our prayers are out for them. Man, looks like, well, Southwest Chicago, I mean, it was everywhere. All these states, it looks like. Well, I don't have very much information on that. I apologize. So we'll have to get back with you on that. But it looks like most of the Midwest got pounded. Unbelievable. I hate tornadoes. I like looking at them. As long as they're millions of miles away and they ain't destroying homes and cities, you know, scientifically look at them, because they are interesting. How do they work? Why do they work? And no, Mr. Gore, it is not man-made global warming, even though he's one of the biggest contributors. Yeah, you didn't know that? Yeah, his electric bill for one of his mansions is more than some cities in this country. Just one house. It's okay for him to use all that electricity. Oh, he's special. He's cool. You know, he made a movie. Flies around in his big jumbo jets. I wonder how big Al Gore's carbon footprint is. I wonder if it's bigger in his butt. He's big. You know that? He got fat. He rounded up. He looks like a penguin, doesn't he? He looks like a big, fat penguin. That's what he looks like. He is a penguin. Yeah, why don't you go live in the Antarctic? Tell me how warm it is down there, huh? Idiot. Now we got new mesh network documents confirmed. Police vehicles, real-time access. DHS spy cameras. So now the police... You know, look, I understand you got to go out and you got to catch the bad guys. But enough with all this over-surveillance. You don't need to find out where everybody's been every second with your stupid cell phone. They find out every step you've taken. They can track you at any given moment, any given person in this country. Now, that is wrong. I'm sorry. Don't give me this. Well, if you're not doing anything wrong, you got nothing to hide. You got nothing to worry about. No. Yes, you do have a lot to worry about. It's not the point whether you have something to hide or not. It's none of your damn business, and it shouldn't be any of your business. So stay out of it. I don't like that. That's not free to me. That, again, I know I got to use the C word. So if you got children in the audience, cover their ears. Got to use the C word. Here it comes. Constitution. It's under the Bill of Rights. And it's the Fourth Amendment. Pretty good amendment. I like the amendment myself. Actually, I like all of them. I like all the Bill of Rights. Those are our protections. This entire document is our protection from our government. But if we won't exercise it, we won't demand that our government follow it, then we deserve what they're giving us. And they're not giving us hardly anything but more grief, more pain, and taking away more and more of our money, more and more of our freedoms, more and more of our rights, more and more of our power over ourselves, mentally, physically, spiritually, in every way possible. And for what? What is your game, Mr. Obama? That's what I'd like to know. What is your game, Mr. Obama? What do you gain from this? What do you gain? What is it? What do you gain? Is this some kind of sick, twisted game for you? Are you is it like one of those bets from, what was that, 48 hours? Oh, no, it was a Trading Places. That's it. I always got those two, the names screwed up. When they bet a dollar on Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy changing places, and, of course, you know, Dan Aykroyd turned into the criminal, and it was, you know, their social experiment, $1. Is that what this is, Mr. Obama? You got a bet for a dollar with Putin? Huh? What the hell are you doing to this country? Why is it so important for you to have total control over everything? Why is it so important for you to take away the power from the American people to control their own lives? Why is that so important for you, Mr. Obama? What are you afraid of? These people voted for you twice. What do you got? What are you afraid of? Why do you need to take away their rights and liberties? What are you going to do with them? Why do you need to have that much power over the people? Why do you need that? Do you not realize that this country will not, and eventually there's going to be a breaking point? I hate to break it to you guys, but we're getting there pretty quick. The pot's going to boil over. It's going to burst. You can't keep doing this. We don't have a middle class. And what middle class we do have is being surveilled 24 hours a day. Nobody's safe to do anything. For what? Why do you need to be watching these people? Well, we got to catch a bad guy. We heard he robbed a bank. You heard. Why don't you get off your computer, get off your ass, and go, well, beat the street there and look for the dude. Look, I understand, yeah, okay, it'd be nice if you had a serial killer and you'd be able to track him and pinpoint him and find him and boom. But there is a slippery slope here. People do not need to have, whether they've got nothing to hide or not, that's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with it. That's not something you want to keep secret or not. It's still nobody's business. We don't need that in this country. Okay, that stuff you heard about that happened in the Soviet Union. That stuff we never heard about happened in the United States. I mean, the United States? No, that's Russia stuff. That's in the movies, man. You used to see that in the movies. We don't need that here in real life. Keep that, let Jack Bauer, have those capabilities. give CTU those capabilities, but don't give the NSA those capabilities. Don't give the United States those capabilities. You keep that on television, okay? And I'm sorry, cops, but you don't need that. You don't need that much. Following bombshell documents released by StoryLeak and InfoWars last Tuesday, uncovering Seattle's expansive $2.6 million Homeland Security-funded mesh network surveillance grid, new documents hidden deep inside the 2012 proposal request. Give even greater detail into the government's ability to track and database virtually any person. After local media began questioning the appearance of mysterious off-white boxes attached to utility poles, well, that's nice. In the downtown area, reports uncovered the mesh network's device's ability to siphon off unsuspecting mobile users' IP addresses, as well as the last 1,000 locations visited. Why would you need that much information? Think about that. Why would anybody need that much information on just an average Joe citizen off the street to get all of their IP addresses? And 1,000, the last 1,000 locations visited. Why would you need that much information? I'm sorry, I find that well, if a serial killer had a cell phone and you wanted to find out where he was, and if you can find out if he carried his cell phone with him to all of his murders. But how many of these are really going to happen, and how many, is this really, seriously, do we really need to do this? Is it really that necessary? Why is it so important for this government to have every bit of information on you as they possibly can? For what? Why do they need it? What is it useful for? I'm sorry, but that's a direct violation of the Fourth Amendment. We could go up and down the line on this Constitution right here. There are so many, and it is mind-boggling to the amount of accounts that you could use for impeachment purposes. The violations of the Constitution. Forget about all the other criminal violations like Benghazi and Fast and Furious and IRS and the NSA. Those are criminal investigations. I'm talking about the violations of our constitutional rights. I mean, if you want to talk about, you really want to make an argument, let's just say for argument's sake, in a perfect vacuum, if you wanted to, you were a law professor and you wanted to, you know, have a lesson. Well, then you get your students, okay, let's put the president up for impeachment. Cover everything that this president has done to violate the Constitution. You put that on that side, and then you take all the criminal violations that this president has. Do it as not an experiment, but just do it as a class lesson and take it seriously, as if this person was really the president. I'm sure we'd find out a lot of information. Not only that, I'm sure that the jury would, well, vote to impeach, overwhelming. But, I mean, that's just me. It'll never happen. But how many more violations do we have to accept before we say enough is enough? Huh? How many more criminal violations do we have? How many more Benghazis do we need? How many more Fast and Furiouses or IRSs do we need before we say, okay, we've had enough? How much more destruction of the general welfare, which is the middle class, which is society in general? How much lower do we have to go before we finally get it? When is enough? I've had enough a long time ago. I can tell you that. I'm already past my limit. My limit is way past. Well, what is yours? What is America's? Obviously, they seem very patient. They're a little grumpy now. All it takes is one more big whopper of a lie, and these sheep will flock right back to the shepherd. They don't have to worry about it. The Democratic Party is not worried. They can just come up with they're in there right now. They're in their little their little think tanks, they like to call them, the little lie tanks. Okay, we need a whopper, boys, and we need a whopper good, or we're all screwed. 2014. Okay, well, let's come up with this. So just wait. We're gonna get. It's gonna come out. Somebody's gonna say something. Either Jay Carney will make the announcement, or maybe the president himself. So we're gonna hear another lie coming up. It's gonna be a big one too. It's gonna be a biggie, and all the little sheep will frolic back to the president. Oh, we love him, Obama. They're just gonna put it off for a year, and they can't even really do it. They still need Congress, and I hope Congress says no. Just to be spiteful. Just get rid of this damn thing. D.C. Insurance Commissioner fired. Fired a day after questioning. How dare him question Obamacare fix. So here the D.C. Insurance Commissioner is fired after he dared question the King's signature health care plan. Can't have that. We can't. Oh, how dare you insult the king? You don't question the king. You don't criticize the king. You give him praise. He is your king. He is your master. Repent! How's that for repent? A day after he questioned President Obama's decision to unwind a major tenet of the health care law and said the nation's capital might not go along D.C. Insurance Commissioner William P. White was fired. Axe. Done. Done. Gone. Out of here. Hit the mix, boy. We don't like your kind. White was called into a meeting Friday afternoon with one of Mayor Vincent C. Gray's top deputies and told that the mayor, quote unquote, wants to go in a different direction. Yeah, backwards. White said the mayoral deputy, I can never say that word, mayoral, God damn it. Anyway, the deputy mayor never said that he was being asked to leave because of his Thursday statement on health care. No, of course, I'm not going to say that. No, oh, no, just a different direction. That's what we want to do, yeah. But he said that the timing was very difficult to ignore. Well, if you really? You think? Of course it is. You don't criticize the king. No. He can criticize the American people. He can insult the American people. He can lie to the American people. But you question the king? No, you can't do that. That's the king's responsibility. The king gets to lie. The king gets to say what he wants. The king can do whatever he wants. He can criticize. That's his job. He's the king. You can't do that to the king. You didn't know that? Well, you didn't read the king's handbook? It's right in there, page number one. You can't criticize a king. Oh, these people just have no respect. Isn't that right, Oprah? No respect? How about that, Ms. Winfrey? How about the respect of the president lying? How's that respect in the office, Miss Winfrey? Yeah, that's what she said. Oprah Winfrey was upset, and all white people, well, they disrespect the president, the office of the president, because Obama's black. Well, he's not black, he's half white. That's all right. Again, it's all superficial. He looks black. Oh, if he looks black, well, then he is black. It doesn't matter how much white he's got in him. What difference does it make if the guy's white or black? Is he a jerk? Is he a nice guy? Is he an axe murderer? I mean, how about that? How about finding out who, you know, again, content of the character? We can't do that. No, can't do that. No. It's the color of the skin. You see, because he's black, that means white people can't criticize him to say anything, because if they do, they're racist. Yeah, that's how it works, Miss Winfrey. You know, if it wasn't for white people, Miss Winfrey, you wouldn't be a billionaire, so you might want to shut your fat yap. Yeah, that's right, Miss Winfrey. White people made you rich. White women and gay men made you rich. Very rich. White people. White. The color white. They made you very rich. White people also voted Barack Obama into office twice. If it wasn't for the white people, Barack Obama never would have been voted in. Where you're getting this nonsense that the Tea Party is racist, I have no idea. Maybe it's because you've never been to a Tea Party. All you've done is sat on your fat ass and watch MSNBC. So why don't you come to a Tea Party with me, Ms. Winfrey? They're coming up. They're all over Long Island. You come with me. We'll go to a tea party. And then you tell me how racist Tea Party really is, how misogynist they really are, how homophobic they really are. Why don't you do that? You call me up, Miss Oprah Winfrey. It's 646-716-7978. You call from 10 in the morning to 12 o'clock noon. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and you can get a hold of me. I'll give you all the information. We'll go to a tea party, you and me. We'll make a date. And after that tea party, you tell me just how racist and homophobic and disrespectful and misogynist that we really are.
Miss Winfrey. You do that. But see, you won't. Because if you do, you're going to find out that you're going to be wrong, and you can't do that. So you'd rather go fly off to London, blame white people that they hate black people and they hate the president because he's black. I mean, first of all, why would you even be saying that in the first place? It doesn't even make any sense. I know the stupid question that the guy asked you. The guy was an idiot. It was a stupid question. It was a setup question. I mean, please, come on. Come on. How many times did you guys rehearse that? Seriously. Pathetic. And you are pathetic, Miss Winfrey. I'm sorry. I don't find you all that talented. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't think you're all that. That's why I don't watch you. I never did. And I never will. And then when you make comments like this, I mean, how do you expect people to take you seriously? And you keep insulting all the white people. Well, what if they stop spending money on you? Then what? Huh? I mean, I don't know if anybody heard this, but this guy buys a house. I didn't get a chance to see, but I heard about this. He buys a house next to his ex-wife, and he wrecks a big, giant middle finger. I'm sorry, but I find that funny. I mean, is it childish? Yes. Is it high school? Yes. But it's still funny. I mean, you have to laugh. I mean, come on. I mean, yes, I mean, the guy probably got his heart broken. I don't know what happened. But obviously, you know, I mean, that's what love does, man. Love is a very, very, very powerful entity that exists within the human mind. It can do all kinds of crazy things. But I think that's just funny, though. Hey, what the hell? Let's see what it says here. Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Nothing quite communicates the wrath of a scorned lover like the middle finger. But in Bloomfield Hills, the middle finger is loud and proud in the form of a near 12-foot-high statue. Oh, my God. Alan Markovitz recently moved into the home where the statue was erected, which happens to be next to the home where his ex-wife now lives, with her new lover, whom she reportedly had an affair with while being married to him. See, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew the guy got his heart broken. I knew that there was an affair. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Well, I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. You know, hey, what are you going to do? I don't know if I'd really want to buy another house next to my ex-wife who just did that and she's living with her ex-lover. I wouldn't want to live right next to him. I mean, holding up a statue with a finger, okay, that's funny, but now you got to still live there. So, I don't know. There's some more news here now. These pictures of you know, when a tornado hits, I mean, and you're seeing these people, you know, you wonder, how in the hell did they survive all this? It's just amazing to see people and animals and stuff after a big, giant storm. And then all of a sudden they come out, you know, after it's all over. It's amazing to see that. But these people, they lost their homes, man. I mean, Thanksgiving's coming up. I mean, does it have to come right before the holidays? You know, have you ever noticed that? A lot of bad, tragic things happen before the holidays. And it just makes it, you know, the holidays suck. So my thoughts and prayers are out, and I'm sure yours are too, for all these people. And we are a very generous country. And I can only hope that, yes, there's going to be plenty of money being donated out and getting these people squared away again. Now, again, getting their homes rebuilt. We still got people from Katrina don't even have a home yet, so. And Sandy, all of it. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I know government's not
not involved in it. I do know that. Whatever the answer is, government's not involved. There needs to be like a community, I guess, like fund or whatever. You know, rebuild these homes, man. Just get a whole bunch of lumber and just start at one side of the street and keep on going until they're all done. There's no excuse to go through all the red tape and get this and get that. You can see that the home was destroyed. Bring a stupid insurance adjuster out there. Yes, the home was destroyed. Okay, mark it down. Needs to be rebuilt. And we start rebuilding them. Just rebuild them. Bring a bunch of mortar, a bunch of bricks, a bunch of wood, a bunch of nails. Get people together. I'm sure most of the people would like to, who could help rebuild their own home. You know, we're a community. This is where America comes in. This is where America shines. It's unfortunate that they have to shine in tragedies, but they do shine in tragedies. I'm not trying to undermine the tragedy. There's people dead and there's people lost everything. They didn't lose just their home. Think about what you got in your home. They lost everything. The pictures or this or that, everything that you own is in your home. Well, it's gone. I know it's only material, but materialistic, but still, there's a lot there. These people are, you know, but when you see these people and they, Americans, and they stand up and they don't fight and they come together. So you like to see that. I just hope that we can, you know, put these people's lives back on track. But in any event, what the hell else is going on here? Oh, the team bus got egged. Oh, the poor Redskins got their bus egged on the way to the Philly Stadium. Oh, dear. In Philly, well, hey, Washington came pretty close towards the end. They tried catching up, but it wasn't enough. They're done. Washington Redskins this year, they're not going anywhere. There's no way they're a playoff team. And this new kid in Philly, man, this kid is good, boy. There was also a guy I only saw it once, and they did it real quick, and I never got a chance to see it again. But he snapped his leg right in half right there at the knee, bent the wrong way. You know, that stuff does kind of make you cringe a little bit, but what are you going to do? John Kerry bucks White House in Egypt. Oh, God. I don't think there's very much going on here. Navy SEALs complain of shabby treatment. Well, yeah. Those SEALs that went out and supposedly killed bin Laden, well, where are they? Well, they all went into a helicopter. They went down. Why? Well, so nobody finds out the truth. Those people coming out in Benghazi, they're doing everything they can to silence them. We've got all kinds of stories. And, of course, it jives with the administration. And, of course, you know the administration. Well, what do they know? We got a report right here. Yeah, you got a report. Okay, those reports are very easily filled out. Okay, don't give me this that you have a report. A report? Okay, it's a guideline. It can tell the truth. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is telling the truth. And especially if it was written by this administration, you know for a fact that it's probably not telling the truth. I mean, they couldn't even get their talking points squared away with Benghazi. They kept having more people coming in. Oh, no, we can't have that. Well, we can't have this. Well, we can't have that. We can't say this. We can't say that. Well, how about saying the truth? We were attacked by Al-Qaeda. It was a terrorist attack, and they killed our ambassador. And we lost three other people because, well, nobody would come. It was too far away, and we weren't going to get there in time. So we all went back to sleep. That's not criminal? I beg to differ with you, but that's criminal. 400 surface-to-air missiles are allowed to be stolen. That's criminal. First of all, you've got 400 surface-to-air missiles at a diplomatic facility. You better make damn sure you have plenty of security. 400 surface-to-air missiles? Okay, I can see if you had 400 squirt guns, I could see the lack of security. 400 surface-to-air missiles is something I don't see. I don't see that those missiles were stolen. I think there had to have been some inside help. We've got 400 surface-to-air missiles. We don't allow that to be stolen. Nor do we allow a Humvee to be stolen. Don't give me this, it was stolen. And where is the team out looking for these thieves? Where is the team out looking for the 400 surface-to-air missiles? Where is the team out looking for our Humvee and our night vision goggles and our firearms? Where is the team out looking for this stuff? And how come we haven't been got an update? The American people, where's our report? Where's our status report? That's what I want to know. Where's the sit rep? Give me a situation report. Give me a sit rep. Well, they can give you one, but it'll be heavily, you know, redacted. They might be able to say the in the proper context without that being taken out of context. But that's about it. Unbelievable. Trust with U.S. needs to be rebuilt. Well, this is all. Joan Jett got kicked off the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade float. Oh, God almighty, she's a vegetarian and all this and all that. And so, oh, God, why is that? Who cares? She's on another float. I mean, Joan Jett, she rocks, man. That's cool. But why is this news? Cheney sisters spar over gay marriage on Facebook. Okay, I'm interested. Gee, I can't wait to read that story. There's not much going on here today. The only thing going on is the media is just flat afraid to acknowledge the truth. And the truth is the president is not being affected by this, so I don't care about his stupid poll numbers. The American people are being the ones affected by this. American people's lives, their livelihoods, that's what's being affected here, not the president. Who cares about his stupid poll numbers? I don't. And why should you? Why should you care about his stupid poll numbers? You've lost your insurance. You've lost your doctor, and the only thing that you can get is a doctor that's 100 miles away. And that premium you got just, well, that's skyrocketed. You can't even afford it. You don't even make that much money a month. How are you going to pay for it? $900 a month for some of these policies. I mean, that's a lot. Well, they may be making, you know, 10 grand a month, but still. This isn't going to work. It can't work. And you still have Nancy Pelosi and Kirsten Gillibrand out there pounding that drum as loud as they can beat it. I mean, the skin is just about ready to, there's no skin left. They've been beating this drum. And Nancy Pelosi trying to answer the question. Good God. She didn't answer the question. She was probably pissed at David Gregory afterwards. How dare you question me? Don't you know that I'm a princess? I'm in the king's court? You don't do that to me. Well, yeah, we do, Nancy Pelosi. That's why you keep getting reelected all the time, because nobody questions you. And when they do, you really show just how big of an idiot you really are. And yes, Ms. Pelosi, I'm not afraid to say it. You are an idiot. You are a dummy. You have to be. Because if you were smart, you would realize that the American people are not that stupid, that they would believe the amount of stupidity coming out of your mouth and realizing that you did not answer that question. What, are you kidding me? What the hell kind of an answer was that? Well, folks, looks like I got my brother on the line over here, which is perfect, because I need to quit talking about this Nancy Pelosi, because I think I'm going to puke. So let's see if we can get some football news, football updates. Kurt, are you on the line? Are you here? Are you there? Are you anywhere? Eight. Hello. Whoa. Hey.
Batman.
Well, Denver.
Is he?
Denver won the game last
Denver,
night. We guessed our score.
Denver,
let me get this.
Is Denver and Kansas City is Kansas City, just as I expected.
Yeah, but did you notice that Kansas City was keeping up with Denver? Kansas City showed that they're a good football.
Oh, not so much. Come on.
Well, I'm not saying they're Super Bowl bound, but it did show that they can play some football. Right, right. I mean,
they get from me.
Well, give them a couple of years when they strengthen up. I think
absolutely.
They're going to be a solid football
absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely.
Okay, I
absolutely.
Can't remember the score. But I had 38-35. You had 45-7, and it was what, 27-17?
I don't think they made 17, did they? I thought they only scored seven. Maybe it was
no.
17. I don't know.
Well,
but I was obviously wrong. Whatever it was.
Miami pulled it off. How about that? I picked them, and then I went back to San Diego when I talked to Mom, and I knew I shouldn't have done
it.
And
I didn't expect them to win that one. That's all right. Good for them. They're still a team, I guess, even though they got nothing but problems. My Hawks, 10-1. Come on, they better start talking about them now. What do you expect?
Well, they're Denver 27-17. I was right. So Kansas City.
Whatever.
Oh, that's 10 points. But Miami won Buffalo. How about that? 37-14 over the Jets. Chicago pulled it off in that. Hey, you know what? I didn't realize it, but there was a lot of tornadoes and people got. I mean, just did you see some of the pictures? The whole Midwest.
Yeah, black.
The whole Midwest got. What we were watching, that was tornado. Yeah, the Midwest got destroyed yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they're done. I mean, there's people, all these neighborhoods, there is no neighborhood. There's a pile of splinters, and that's...
Just like we were talking, it was worthy of them to
stop
the game for a little bit.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I think
you know, it was
right
funny, though. Well, they were trying to get people to come in, and the players are just sitting at the bench, and all the fans are sitting there watching and looking, and then they were kept, you know, flashing on the screen, hey, go, get the hell out, you know. And, well, it didn't take very long, and when those black clouds came in, man, that was big.
I've been there when they've – I've seen a few of those up in the Ohio area. It's ugly. It's ugly.
Well, I've been to Ohio a few times. I've been through Chicago, and you're right. In Ohio, it takes about 7 seconds, and it goes from a bright, sunny day to a black, holy hell day. And
yeah, it's quick and it's fast, and you better get in.
It's quick, fast, and greasy, boy, and it just
absolutely. So, but they did the right thing. I didn't even watch the rest of it. I was bored of it. Plus, the Seahawks were playing. I had to watch that. Bless them.
How about Tampa Bay, 41-28? How about Tampa? They got two wins. Hey, man.
They think they've got
their
playoff pants on straight now or something.
Yeah, they got their panties on. They got the panties on straight, and they're playing some football. Of course, they're playing Atlanta.
Atlanta's just pathetic, man. I even had a little faith in them. I think I picked them.
No.
Only because they were playing Tampa, but I can never pick them again. They're pathetic.
No, Atlanta, they're done. Pittsburgh, they played a nice football game yesterday.
Goofy uniforms, but
I love them. I love the uglier the better, man. You got to be ugly.
Oh, I hate those things.
I love
them. They look stupid.
No, I love the UGG.
It's too much UGG.
Oh, I love UGG, man. I love it all. But no, they're
lost, though. What are you talking about? Oakland lost.
Oakland did not lose. Oakland beat Houston 28-23. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's true. But they did come back, but they pulled it out.
And New Orleans, San Francisco and New Orleans, you knew that was going to be a good football game. And New Orleans.
New Orleans is a legitimate threat now in my eyes. I wasn't really afraid of them until now.
Right. The Giants, They should have played Flynn, man. You said they were going to play Flynn. They played that other dude. They should
have
played Flynn.
That's what they were supposed to do.
They should have.
Supposed to do.
What's the deal
Flynn
with this guy? He comes over to a team and they go, we can't wait for you to come over. And he comes over and goes, you're not playing.
Bring him on. And the poor kid is just getting teeter-tottered everywhere. He doesn't know what's going on.
Hey, you know, play me or, you know, Jesus.
Well, he's making a ton of money. I think Seahawks signed him, paid him $13 million, and he never saw the field. I don't know what Buffalo did for him. I'm sure he made some money.
Ah, the beef. They tore up the Jets 37-14 yesterday, and I loved it. The beef. Beef is for dinner, man.
I did pick the Jets, but I'm pretty proud of my beef. I like that team. Ever since Kelly was on there.
Cincinnati, 41-20 over Cleveland. I was hoping that Cleveland was going to show a little more moxie than they did, but they didn't. So.
Normally they do against Cincinnati, but they're just Cleveland now, so they can't.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame. I mean, Cleveland is one of the oldest franchises in football. Well, the real franchise is now the Ravens. But, you know, I mean, Cleveland Browns has been around. I mean, they don't have a Super Bowl. They don't have a championship. They don't even have – I think they've been to the playoffs maybe once. But why is this team – You know, it's like the Cubs. You know, why can't they just, you know, why can't teams like this ever win, you know? So.
Yeah, I don't know. They got their problems. All right, who else?
Oh, let's see. Other than that, it was kind of almost a boring, there were some spurts of goodness. Philadelphia over Washington, that was beautiful. That was absolutely gorgeous. I loved
that.
Yeah,
like I said, as long as Vic isn't playing, I'll pick Philadelphia all day long.
Oh, absolutely. I don't care. Pittsburgh, we covered that. Arizona, we covered that. We got them all. Miami, they beat San Diego. What happened to them? They were supposed to be a lot gooder than this. What?
I don't know. There is no knowing. I don't know.
You know
but
what
Dallas
happened to the Giants? Yeah, Dallas. Yeah. Well, Dallas has been Dallas for a long time.
Too long, yeah. But San Diego, boy, you put them on paper and they look pretty good.
Well, after
you put them out on that field and
well, see, after Switzer left, Dallas just hasn't been. They just can't seem to get anything going, and they've got a lot of stock in Romo. And hey, look, I like Romo, but. I don't think he's the answer here in Dallas. I think getting rid of Jerry Jones as their general manager is the answer for Dallas. But
I don't know. He actually built that team, and the team is good. I think it's coaching. If they can put those guys together to play, they got good guys. There's no question that personnel is good on the field.
Well, see, maybe that's why
he's got
together. The coach. Well, maybe that's why he's got the coach that he is, because maybe Jerry Jones is actually being the one who's really coaching.
Yeah, and he does. He gets his little finger in everything,
but
it's his
you're
team,
right.
So he can do that.
Okay, if you were to put a coach right now, let's say you were given the franchise of Dallas Cowboys, and you couldn't change any of the players. All you could do was change the head coach. Of any head coach available, who would you pick? Not one that's already got a job, but one that's available.
Disgusted. Gruden or Cowher?
Nobody else?
Either one of them. Oh.
I think Gruden would fit in Dallas. He's got the right he's a little ball of energy.
Younger man. If Madden was a younger man, I'd put him in there. Jones isn't going to tell him what to do.
Actually, yeah. Actually, you put Madden in there right now. I bet that old dog could still probably get it done.
He could probably do it.
I bet he could.
I don't think he wants to, but
no, he don't fly,
he'd do
so
it.
He'd have to travel in a bus, so he'd never be able to get to any of the games. So
that's funny. That's so funny. Love that old guy.
But no,
I think Gruden would be good, or Cowher would be good. Cowher would just yell and.
I don't see Cowher in Texas, though. I don't see Cowher in Texas. I see Gruden in Texas before Cowher, and I don't know why. I don't. I mean, I like Cowher. Don't get me wrong. I like him.
I see it. Either way.
Well,
either one would be a pretty good fit, I think.
I was thinking that they were going to bring in Ryan from defense and bring him as the head coach, but they got rid of him, and Ryan's now in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he's going to get a head coaching job at some point. New Orleans is a solid team.
I don't think he wants it, though. Rob Ryan wants it.
He doesn't want him? Well, he likes what he does.
So.
He seems happy. I mean, Rex, well, the Jets are just, I don't think it really matters who the head coach is with the Jets. I just don't think they have.
Not right now.
They don't have the personnel to go with it. Now, Cowboys have the personnel. They just don't have,
they have coaching.
Right. I think the Jets.
Go on.
No, I was waiting for you. I was just saying
something about that kid, the guy that they have coaching. I can't remember his name, but he's a kid.
Oh, with the Cowboys. Yes, I know. He's 13.
Most of the players are older than him.
He's Opie Cunningham, for crying out loud.
Pretty close.
Opie Cunningham? Oh, my God. I meant Opie Taylor. That's right. It was Richie Cunningham.
Same thing.
Same thing. Opie Cunningham, you know. But, yeah.
My Seahawks, we got to get to them.
Kurt.
Now, is any – what?
Go ahead.
Is anybody going to start talking about them yet?
Well, they did on Fox. You weren't watching it.
No.
I watched a little bit of it. They had a you know that guy that's
in the morning?
There? Okay, he's not funny. Terry and the Boys.
Well, he's not bad. He's not bad.
He's not funny at all. He's not even close to funny. I mean,
he's had some funny stuff.
I've yet to hear it.
I've seen a few.
They had this video about the Seahawks get no respect. Nobody knows who they are. And they had all this. And, you know, they were saying, well, when are you going to acknowledge us? And I think the league is what they were interviewing fans and saying, you have to acknowledge us, at some point. Yeah, being 9 or 10-1, they got to acknowledge us at some point. But nobody's going to acknowledge the Seahawks until they win the Super Bowl. So forget about all the NFL acknowledging anything. Seahawks go out and win the Super Bowl, and they won't be able to not acknowledge. Do you see what I mean?
Correct. It bothers me, but then again, I like it.
So
I like the quiet,
like
coming up behind you, quiet.
Well, it's nice to be the underdog, because it's always fun to have people hate you, because if they hate you, that means that they're hating you for the right reason, because you're gooder than them, and they don't, So
gooder?
I use the word gooder all the time because I'm protesting society. I'm sick of it, I'm going to use any word that I can say that I can screw up, I'm going
to
screw it up. So, I couldn't even pronounce any of their words. So I've been there.
How do you know? It sounds like you're talking their language as it is.
Yeah. Well, I think Seahawks, if they can win the Super Bowl this year, then I think America just has no choice. They're not going to like it. They're going to hate it. It's probably going to be the least watched Super Bowl, but if he's playing Peyton Manning, it's going to be the most watched.
They're playing Denver, so it's going to be most watched.
Yes.
I've already picked it. I picked it last year. It's going to happen. There's nobody that can beat Seattle right now other than Denver. So why don't we just play the game tomorrow?
Yeah.
Get it over with.
Yeah, I mean,
now then we wouldn't have any more football for a while.
You don't think New Orleans?
They are scaring me a little bit more now. But
Seattle is going to have to play New Orleans to get to the Super Bowl.
I know. They're starting to scare me now.
I told you.
A couple more. I told you. I know. But like I said, they are starting to scare me now, so I'm keeping my eye on them. Before, they weren't a threat. But
well,
I think they are
Seattle,
legitimate.
Seattle doesn't play New Orleans this year, do they?
Not until playoffs.
Right. I mean, they don't play them in the regular season.
I don't remember their schedule, but I don't think so. No, I think they do. Toward the end, maybe. I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Well,
just saying
it doesn't matter if
they're starting to scare me.
The point is, Seattle has to. It's going to eventually, if things go the way things are going, eventually Seattle is going to have to get through New Orleans in order to go anywhere through the postseason. So,
but if Seattle continues the way they're continuing, New Orleans is going to have to come to Seattle.
Come to Jesus.
And that's tough to play in there.
Well, right now their records are the same.
That's right now, yeah.
So why would you say that they're going to have to come to Seattle? What if? Well,
because I think New Orleans will lose another game. I don't believe Seattle, unless San Francisco pulls something out, I don't see them losing any other games.
Well, I think they do play. Don't they play Indianapolis again?
No.
Who do they play? They play somebody tough towards the end.
San Francisco. They've got San Francisco, Arizona, St. Louis again. I think they got Arizona twice, which is
well, they
great.
Got their whole division twice. I mean, they got their whole division.
Yeah, and they've already played San Francisco and St. Louis once.
I know. They've already played Arizona once, too, haven't they?
I don't think so. I don't think they've gotten through that one yet.
Well, that shouldn't be too terribly difficult.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Well, see, you know
what?
That's
what
scares me with this Seattle team. They seem to lose games that they shouldn't, and it seems like somebody like Arizona could come in and, especially if they're in Arizona, a fluke win, not a real win. And that's Arizona. That's how they win. They
don't
win real games. They're flukes. They're flukers.
Yeah, but
they're mother flukers. The Fluking
Cardinals.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
but
beautiful.
They are, and,
but this year, Seattle has got a mindset different than most teams. They don't take any game for as just a automatic win. They just don't take it for granted. They actually play.
Hmm. So,
I think they've learned that, and that might help them. I don't know. We'll see.
Well,
it'll be all right.
Anyway, Meat, I'm running dangerously close to getting cut off here, so we're going to have to call this a day. Appreciate you calling me in on Monday.
All right.
Make sure you call in on Friday. Every weekday, this is Kurt. He's going to be on here Friday every day, and every Friday going over the picks. And I just want to let you know, I smoked you last week.
That's not so real. I did
See,
gooder.
You did gooderist? I did gooderist.
I did gooder. All right, I got to go.
All right. No, I won. I'm perfect. I'm great. I didn't miss a single game. So, all right. We'll see
Thank
you later, Meat. All right.
Be gooder. See me?
Bye. Okay, folks. That's it. That's the close. We're just about done with this. We've only got just a couple more minutes. So, in any event, we will see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye.